Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I like to post different pictures of our guests whenever they come on the show. And right now, Jeff Chedilla, I'm looking. I can't find it because I'm apparently stupid. I'm looking for the picture that we took together just outside the stadium at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
If you remember me wandering around.
Yeah.
Wildly by myself, just giddy. I was, you know what?
Was that giddy, or was that some other term you would use when libations and?
No. I was very full.
That
because I had to do an appearance.
That was a tailgate thing, right? That was a food deal.
The Guy Fieri tailgate, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I had said, and I went there with Jason Anderson, I'm not going to eat too much because I don't want to be full and just, going in there and covering the game. That fell apart like within 10 minutes of being in there.
Mm-hmm.
I ate so much and it was so good and just like, you know.
Well, you're probably there like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, weren't you? It was like super early.
Right. I had to stay there for 2 hours. So it's like 2 hours in this gigantic tailgate with all the free food you could want. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. Or for heaven. And then, man, traffic was just jam-packed. So I walked to the stadium and got there. But once you went through the several security checkpoints, and then you're in, like, just the outside to where you can, you know, actually say, okay, I made it through all this stuff. I know. I was like, okay, I'm really here. All right, look, there's a big, giant picture of Patrick Mahomes, and it says Super Bowl. And then of all the people walking by, I see Jeff Chedilla.
Yeah.
Right, and I go, Jeff, and ran over there, and that was one of the happiest selfies I've ever taken. I just got to find it. But
Steven, how'd you feel like maybe 8 hours before that?
I felt in a celebratory mood, but like how? So 8 hours before that,
I'm thinking
like,
of about 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning.
Not good. No good.
That's a rough night coming back from.
No good.
You went to some concert, right?
No, that was the night we went to Fort Lauderdale to host the party with Josh from Mil Azarone and all that.
Fort Lauderdale, and then came back.
Oh my God! I'll tell you this, Jeff.
When you're in a situation like that, empty the tank, right? Give it all you got. Did I give it all I had that night?
Here's the deal. What I did, I failed. I think at one thing all of Super Bowl week. And that was, I promised Steven I was going to make him leave there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't going to fight him on it. So Jason Anderson and I left, and we left Steven up there, and Pamela was up there, and they had to Uber back. And then, as I recall, at something like 2:30 in the morning, Steven came back to the hotel room and was cursing Uber's business model somehow,
right?
Because his hat.
I don't like it.
Got left in there, and he was just, cursing and screaming. And it was not happy. So he was, you always hear the phrase, death warmed over.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 that morning, it was going to be hard for him to get to this game. But you know what? It's Super Bowl. Once in a lifetime.
I did it all.
And so when you saw him, he was over the moon, see?
I had to go on the air at 11 for a lengthy interview, which was the longest interview I think I've ever been a part of. And then be at that tailgate, but it all happened. But by the time you got to me, Jeff Chedilla,
he's ready to go.
You were ready.
It was very wonderful.
Okay,
it was a very wonderful time.
You did not want to see him at what was the name of our hotel? Element. Was it the Element?
The Element.
We were at the Element.
Out
there.
The airport.
We were out by the airport. We were 700 miles from where you were, Jeff. As you recall,
I just flew.
Jeff
back
would always text us, "Hey, you guys want to do something tonight?" No, we're 400 miles away from you.
No, you're actually like 20 miles away. 400 mile drive.
Yeah, it was terrible. It's one thing I don't miss about the COVID times. Dude, traffic is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
I just drive into work here, and it's just not a problem. You couldn't drive 10 miles in Miami. It didn't matter if it was 6 in the morning or 8 at night or 10 at night without hitting traffic.
You know, I was just in the Virgin Islands, and I was flying back through Miami, and I was overlooking the South Beach and all that area where you guys were staying. And the traffic was, there was nothing.
Nothing
it was
there.
Amazing compared to what it was like when we were out there.
Steven, you didn't comment back to me when I sent you that video. I sent it to you and Jason.
What video?
I sent you a video a couple days ago.
It was
some women fighting. It said it was at 9th and Collins on South Beach. And that's where we, because we kept driving up and down to find a place to park when we were going to the convention center. And one of them didn't have a top on, and the other one, the top was about to pop off. They were fighting. They had bikinis on. They were fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I swear, it was right by where we were on the phone with Steven. Hey, we got to pick you up. And you had run over to go to speak for yourself. That's how much times have changed. Whitlock was still on television then.
Right.
But he'd gone to watch the show. and then you're like, we'll pick you up. Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
He invited me. It was on that Friday. And Jeff, because you were texting me,
I was the mediator. I was the go-between.
Right, so he came on the morning show, and then he invited me to go watch his show. And then so I had to do interviews up until like a half hour before then. And then trying to get a car, Uber over there, and they would not drop you off any closer than like four blocks away from where everything was set up on South Beach. And then I ran and I'm wearing a suit. I'm wearing a full suit running.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you wear a suit out in the beach?
Right, because Todd. And so you're the one that yelled at me for bringing too
many clothes. Hey, did someone bring too many clothes to the Super Bowl?
Me.
Yes.
And
okay.
So I get there.
All his clothes.
And then we have to hurry up and leave. And then just pick me up, and I found some street corner for you guys to pick me up at, and almost caused you guys to have a wreck. But you know what? We got it done.
I'm telling you, it was right where these girls were fighting. I swear those were the street names, because it all came flashing back to me.
I know that area.
It'll be much better next year when we do this again. But who knows? When the Chiefs make the Super Bowl next year.
The Super Bowl will be in Tampa. No one will be there.
Will there be one?
Right.
Exactly right. Well,
that leads us into our next question.
How about that segue?
That's right, Jeff. Let me take your temperature now.
Oh, okay.
We've heard the back and forth, and clearly football would love to avoid what happened that played out so publicly in the disagreements between the owners and the players in baseball. And so what do you think of all the back and forth that's been going on and where we are now as far as the NFL trying to get training camp and trying to get back in action?
I'm not surprised by it. I think you watch the way baseball played out, and that's certainly a far more acrimonious situation that played out there because of the strength of their union. You knew this day was coming for football, and it's disheartening in a lot of ways that it's now July 22nd, and we're sitting here having these conversations. As soon as I walked in the door, Todd asked me what are we doing? What's happening? And I told him that we just had we have our annual talent summit where we get all our reporters and analysts and hosts and producers together and go over NFL initiatives and important information. And so Dr. Alan Sills was on that call, who is the chief medical officer for the NFL. And so we had a real big off-the-record conversation with him about what was happening, what was going to be the situation going forward, not just for, games, but media and on-field personnel. And interesting things were said. I can't go into all the details because it was an off-the-record deal, but I came away feeling like there was cautious optimism, but that's as good as I could feel about it. I mean, there's scenarios for every last possible thing, including the possibility of shutting down a team, for multiple tests. And so that's I just feel like I spend half my day watching the news, cable news, to see what's heating up, where it's heating up, and then the rest watching my co-workers like Tom Pelissero, Mike Garofolo, and Ian Rappaport to see what they're reporting. I feel like the biggest thing that's going to get worked out here, that has to be worked out here, is the money part of it. And that's the whole thing about clearing off the deck with the testing, clearing off the deck with the preseason games, because the owners know they're going to get hammered financially, and they're going to want their money back.
Yeah, as much as the narrative on Sunday with the "we want to play" hashtag from the players is about safety, that's certainly a part of it, but it's going to come down to the dollars and cents.
Yeah.
After they work that stuff out, it has to.
Yeah, I mean, there was no question that the NFL was going to do everything possible to make it as safe as possible to be back, and that they have the means, the resources to do that. They have plenty of money, so they can do those things. But we talked about this, I don't know, it must have been a month ago now, just about the salary cap and how it was going to be affected in 2021 and how the owners are going to make that money back. Now you're seeing teams actually come forward, like the Giants and Jets, saying we're not going to have fans. So not having fans in the stadium during the season, not having preseason games.
Those are local
games,
government those issues.
Are local government issues, yeah. And so at what point, and to be honest with you, I think there's going to be some issues within the owners about the equity of that, because you already heard Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, say, well, I can't have fans, and I won't be having fans in Las Vegas, but how come other teams can have fans?
Where's the equity? He wants to get money in that new stadium. I mean, they've sold all those tickets.
Yeah.
And that was not the case at the old Coliseum.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. And so there's – it's you start looking at the timetable of it, and Sean McVay even spoke to this, I think a couple of days ago when I was coming back, that, you know, look, it's hard to think it's, this whole thing's going to start on time now, because you start looking at the testing protocols and how long guys have to go through testing protocols before they can be on the field, going through walkthroughs, before they start getting helmets on and shoulder pads. It's like, this is like
the one thing they've done is they said there's no preseason games. So they're going to have maybe 8 weeks to have to get themselves ramped up, which I guess is a good thing. What I don't understand, and maybe this the doctor told you guys this on this call, the Chiefs got their protocols, their IDER stuff approved early. Why don't they just say, hey, yours are approved, everyone do what they're doing? How could they all have 32 different sets of how we're going to do this? Shouldn't they talk to each other about this stuff?
You would think that'd be happening, right? You'd think there was a lot of time to be doing all this stuff.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
but they had each one of them come up with their way and then turn their plan in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second someone's plan was great, they should have said, hey, why don't you fax that over to everyone else and we all do your plan?
Yeah, yeah.
That seems ridiculous to me.
I think part of the issue here, and this is just me, just my take on it, just hearing what I've heard and just watching what's happened, is that I really think that a lot of people in the power structure of the NFL are really concerned about having to make the hard, say the hard things. What happens if there's a whole big, if there's a big surge at the Super Bowl or during the playoffs, or if a bunch of guys get sick? I think I remember last year, like midway during the season or second half of the season, there were a lot of Chiefs players who had the flu.
Mm-hmm. Stay away.
Yeah. And there were like, I think 4 or 5 guys had it. And so how do you deal with that if it's 10 guys who have this? And are you willing to say, we're going to, you know, sit these guys down? They've already said that it's a 14-day quarantine process, but
yeah, you have the flu, they send you home, they get you in fluids, can you play on Sunday?
Yeah,
they won't be able to do that with this.
They won't be able to do that. And then you have to hope people are reporting correctly. And it's just, there's so many variables in it when it comes to football. And I get that, you know, look, it's, I'm optimistic this whole thing's going to start with the NFL because everybody else has started up, right? It's the question of how it's going to look in October and November and December when the numbers begin to rise. You start seeing CNN with everything's red, deep red, all the states with the surges and everything. So you don't know how the politics will play into it at that point. It already feels weird talking about some of this stuff, you know, in terms of, because, okay, it's great the NBA's in a bubble. It's great that baseball started and they said no fans. But there's so much time between football games. You got a week. And guys are going to go home. And they're going to be around other people who've been out doing stuff. And you just can't control everything. And so that's the really big variable here for me. It's like, yeah, they're going to start, maybe not on time, who knows, but finishing is the really big question.
So no preseason games, and the roster size is expected to be at 80. That will be the limit to start camp. Let's start there. I mean, it was all pretty obvious we were headed towards no preseason games. What your reaction to that, and then 80 player roster limit?
Well, as far as a preseason game goes, I understand both sides of it. The owners, they make a lot of money off that stuff, a lot of easy money, and it's a way of evaluating
payroll
rosters.
Is nil exactly. Basically at
zero.
That point.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, so you're getting just you're cleaning up. But the players also feel like we're not going to play games that don't matter in a situation where we don't know how many games we're going to get. We don't know how healthy we're going to be. So I see that end of it. And personally, I think it's better to have at least one preseason game just because you're able to have a way of, again, evaluating your roster, getting your guys up to speed. I've had a lot of trainers and guys who quarterback coaches, guys who work with guys in the offseason say to me going as far back as May, April, that there's going to be a ton of injuries. I mean, you can already count on it, which speaks to the second question you're asking me about the depth. How do you figure out who you can hold on to? How do you make sure you got some guys who can step in and play? Because you're going to see a lot of players get hurt. You go back to 2011 when they had the lockout and guys came back after pretty much doing nothing for entire offseason until they got in the training camp, and you saw a big spike in Achilles tears. You saw a big spike in ACL injuries and hamstring strains, and it's just, football is a difficult sport to play. It's very hard on the body. Even with this ramp-up period they're going to have, it's still not going to be enough time to prevent some kind of major carnage. And look at the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs had, 20-some guys have some kind of significant injury, including major players, from the quarterback, receivers.
Chris Jones. Frank Clark.
Eric Fisher.
Frank Clark had nerve stuff, and he had a stomach issue.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so it's – look, it's not ideal by any means, but it's the way the world is right now. It's the new normal.
So I think that in this way – tell me what you think from talking to the doctor, too. You know, for a long time, when you took a concussion test or something like that, you know, they tried now with this baseline. You could lie. Yeah, I know where I am, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're not going to be able to lie on this test.
Mm-mm.
Now, are these tests going to be administered by someone else who's outside the team? I mean, I think, I'm not saying any teams, but I think there are teams out there who, if they got a positive test and it was asymptomatic, they would just handle it internally. And maybe try to quarantine a guy and then have him go play a game. Right. I think that
you're talking about a franchise that may have deflated footballs or placed cameras in strategic areas in the field.
You know, started putting guys with different number jerseys in a different spot. I mean, I think those things are possible.
I think totally it is.
And so, I mean, they got to have some standardization around this stuff.
And I think that's been discussed. I think that's definitely been discussed, having independent agencies administer tests, keep track of what's happening. And I had that same question a couple weeks ago. Just like there's no way you can ask NFL teams to be
police
forthright and police themselves, because they won't. They won't. There's if Patrick Mahomes caught COVID-19 before a first round playoff game, you're telling me that, you know, the Chiefs would be like, hey, you know what, you got to sit down for the next 14. We can't have you until, you know, hopefully we can get to the AFC Championship game without you. It's not going to happen. Or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, whoever, Lamar Jackson.
And the point then is, if when does the game? And this is where the, you know, the owners or football fan, I don't know who would think about this part of it as much, but so if you've got the Chiefs are out there playing, but there's 14 guys who aren't the guys who are supposed to be playing, when is that the NFL that you want to have? Is it okay just to see the red jerseys out there and be happy with it?
And that becomes that question, I can tell you, was asked of like, what's the number? What's the magic number?
They don't have an answer.
It will take for you to say, we're just going to shut the team down. Yeah, they don't want to answer that question, but there has to be a number out there, because ultimately you're only talking about 50 some odd players you're going to have available each week.
They'll have to expand that each week, I think.
Yeah.
The owners have been resistant to that on all things, but they're going to have, like baseball has this taxi squad.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to be able to, if they get a test, be able to move a guy in there. That's the logistical stuff they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, and look, I think one thing Dr. Sills said yesterday that I thought was really important to understand for everybody who cares about this, which is a lot of people, he just said, look, you know, we're talking about a game that nobody has played in the last 5 months, and there's just no data out there as to how people will respond, how this virus will spread or be transmitted. There's nothing to go on. And again, if you're it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to go back into schools, we're going to go back into opening businesses again or whatever, but to say we're going to play football, the highest level of contact you can ask for in any major sport, with the most people involved around the game, how is this going to work out? And nobody can answer that question. So it's all hypothetical right now, and it's all a question of how disciplined can everybody involved in this be.
We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. Jeff would only agree to appear on the show today if we agreed to give him at least one live listen-in to Nate Buchady on the call of Sporting Kansas City and RSL. So, Jeff, turn the volume up on your headphones, and here we go. Let's check in with Nate Buchady calling the game between Sporting and RSL right now.
Tackle from Glad. Shelton keeps a hold of it. Out to Hernandez. Sets it up on a right foot for a shot. It bangs off of Toya and then gets cleared away. Well, I don't think Felipe wanted to take that first time with his left foot and decided to have a controlling touch first. And by that point in time, Toya was able to come out and close it down. Still positive stuff from the 21-year-old Hernandez. Sporting KC still in the attack. Pulido to Busio. Back to Pulido in the penalty area. Working against Herrera. Just before it goes out, he saves it in. Kyrie Shelton, though, couldn't hold it. Let's go back to Carter to finish that thought on Felipe Hernandez.
Let's bring it back from the live listening right now to Sporting Kansas City as they lead RSL 1-0.
It's what is this game for, right? There's some significance to this.
Yeah,
right?
If they're in the MLS's back tournament, and it counts as a regular season game.
That's
no,
the first
no matter
thing.
What.
It counts towards the standings.
Now,
so
this is
a
the
game,
last one
a regular
count.
Season game that counts towards the standings.
Gotcha.
If they happen to get at least a draw, then they will continue on in this tournament. Now, those games won't count for the regular season standings, but it's a chance to go play.
Right.
Because as we know, with all the uncertainty in sports, if they lose this game and they don't get to continue in this tournament, I don't know when their next game is. They don't have a schedule, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, you go outside the bubble. So you leave the bubble. If they get knocked out, you're out.
Yeah.
Universal
out of the bubble.
Studios for you guys.
Yeah, or back to Kansas City and just hope they find out a way to when you're going to return to play. Because as of right now we will have, like today the Royals are going to play an exhibition game in St. Louis, and the regular season in baseball is going to start this week. But so far, no one has had a team competition outside a bubble, right? I mean, NASCAR has been going on and golf's been going on, but a major sports league team competition not in a controlled bubble environment has not yet happened. So they don't have an MLS schedule for the rest of this after this.
Good Lord.
Did you think that Nate brought the correct amount of enthusiasm in that brief listen that we had of his call?
It didn't really sound like Nate, but I guess he was.
Go on.
I guess he was sounded passionate about it. It was a different kind of vibe there. He had his broadcaster voice. He had his soccer broadcasting voice on more so than
his soccer voice. Do you agree with that, Todd?
Yes.
That he has a different soccer voice.
Yeah, he's got a game broadcast voice. It's different.
Well, and he's got a different preparation style for that.
And you got a voice you read a spot with, and you got a voice you do a show with.
So where is he at? He's like in a closet somewhere watching the game.
They're actually at Sporting Park.
We'd like to put him in a closet.
Well, here's the deal. They went out there because as we were watching this on TV here, it was the radio is about 10 seconds ahead of what we're watching here because we're watching a satellite feed of this, a direct TV feed of it. Out there at Sporting Park, they have given them a straight feed from the facility to the club's places, so it is right on. I mean, so they're well ahead of what. And if you're in today's world of time shifting, if you were watching this on an app on your phone, you'd be like a minute behind. Because
I'm watching
all the same
on ESPN Plus on my iPad Pro powered by Sprint. Sporting just scored their first goal. Am I behind at all?
What does your time say? What does your time say on your feed?
We're a minute into the game. No, right now 65 minutes.
65 minutes?
That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. I'm watching ESPN Plus on my iPad.
So we're 65-53. So we're 53 seconds ahead of you.
Oh, I knew it.
And
tell me what
Nate's like, they're like 12 seconds ahead there. Dude, the world's crazy with all this stuff anymore.
Well, you know, what is crazy is just how much this is going to change the way we all do business, especially within the media, as far as calling games and doing stuff. I mean, that one thing that was discussed in that meeting yesterday was just like how they're going to, where they're going to put people who cover the games or who are on the field,
well, training
or
camp,
sidelines during games.
We're not going to get to go watch one second of training camp.
No.
Now, TV stations here in Kansas City are each going to get to send a camera out there to get 20 minutes of stretching, which they could just get from the Chiefs. I mean, they're not going to let you shoot anything that's important. So they'll get that, and they're going to allow that's very small amount of people actually, I say have to watch practice. I'm kind of a have to because, I mean, practice is great, but a lot of these guys aren't going to be the deal, and it's hot. I don't need to see all that stuff. Everything we're going to do is going to be via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're not going to be able to go out there and ask questions. And I'm sure they haven't got all the protocols, but probably what you heard from the league is some people get to be at the press box, but you're not walking inside a locker room
after
a game. Or during the week.
They said when it came to actually even getting to the press box, start working on the treadmill, taking the stairs, because the elevators are going to be
Arrowhead,
less likely as possible.
That's a different game. You know, you're going up to the ninth floor. Because when the Royals sent their protocols out, they were, unless you had a health condition, they want you to take the elevators, or not take the elevators, to, you know, have less people in the elevators and pushing the buttons and enclosed, you know, spots and all that stuff. You walk in on three there, you go to six. Okay, you walk in on three at Arrowhead, and you go to nine.
Kilimanjaro.
I've walked those before. It's good for you. Maybe. Depends on who you are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
well, they were talking about even like just people who would be around the field and sidelines during the games being in the first few rows now.
Yeah, they're going to eliminate. They're going to eliminate like sideline local camera people, photographers, stuff like that. They want way less people.
Yeah.
And that's when we talk about these things. You talk about dollars and cents for these local markets. You've been on the field at Arrowhead before a game. These big groups of people who have spent a lot of money to go down there and be close to the action, that's out too.
That's out.
Forget about the guy sitting in row ZZ in section 348. You know, they appreciate that person for giving them money, but this is big dollars to them. And it's not as big as the TV revenue, because the TV revenue is big, but this is not some small potatoes thing for these NFL teams.
No. There's like for the teams that, look, if you're Jerry Jones, it's not as big a deal because you got gobs of money. If you're Daniel Snyder, not a big a deal because you got gobs of money.
Or for now,
the Carolina Panthers, he may not even be the owner the way things are going with him. But, you know, even with the ticket situation, like somebody's going to have to be in the upper rows, the upper levels. If you're talking about using the whole stadium and if I have a season ticket that put me down on a club level or in the lower bowl, do I want to be sitting up way up there? I'm not getting the same value for that.
Yeah.
That's tough calls.
But don't you feel like, I mean, and I'm just talking specifically about the Chiefs as defending Super Bowl champs and Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones and the love affair and everything that's going on. That won't be a problem for the Chiefs. I mean, people will sit on the stairs in the upper level just to get in to watch the Chiefs, right? I mean, that's not going to be a problem here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
They would. They won't be given the chance, but they would.
Right.
Yeah.
See, people will try to make handmade helicopters and drones to fly over to watch these things if they could, just to see.
Let's not do that, please.
I'm against it. Yeah. I think there are some FAA rules that you won't be able to do that. I've seen some stuff.
No handmade helicopters. I saw some.
Will you stop texting me, Steven, please?
I saw some videos.
What did I do? What did I do? I'm not texting nobody. I did text you. I'm sorry.
I saw some videos of this place in Poland. It's more of a downtown stadium or something like that. And people had gone and rented out construction cranes so they could go get in the little bucket and raise a construction crane up over the top to watch in. Now, you're not going to be allowed to do that. I don't know what crane parking would be at Arrowhead. But people want to go watch stuff however they can go watch stuff.
Yeah,
you won't be able to sneak up in Arrowhead, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got a good seat. If I want to have a bad seat, I'd probably just opt out and take the next season of the credit. But that's me, I think. But you're right. I think there are people who will go because they want to be around it as well. There'll probably be more seats for those people who are like, I just want to be in there. And if I'm used to being taken care of and catered to and having my drinks when I want to have them and getting my lobster tacos, whatever they're serving.
There's a lot of people I want to go.
Oh, there are.
Hey, just like I think almost every player wants to play.
Yeah,
whole lot of fans want to go watch.
Yeah. Oh, when all the ticket sales stuff went down a couple weeks ago, I heard from a lot of people, a lot of concerned people.
However many people
that what
want to be out there.
So how do you decide who goes?
They'll put people waiting.
Who's going to pay the most?
I don't know. I mean that
lottery system. Well, I mean at this point, one's going to get to go at this point.
Yes.
Because I've had friends who said I don't want to do that. I want to wait and take my money.
Plenty of them do. But there are plenty in Kansas City who want to go watch.
Oh yeah.
So Jeff, you usually have a daunting travel schedule during the season. What have those conversations been like? Are they going to send you to different cities since you're in Kansas City? Will you just
no flying
cover the Super Bowl champs? Like how are they going to handle that?
They said nobody's flying.
We're going to invest in bandwidth at your house for Zooms. Is that it?
No, nope.
I got to deal with Avis,
and you're going to be driving all over this country.
That's pretty much what
leaving.
They said.
Yeah,
and
leaving
said,
on Tuesday, and
for we do a big inside
in
training
Minnesota,
camp,
Minnesota,
and it's
Chicago.
Like, they said, look, everybody is going to drive to where they have to go to cover camps.
But at this point, if you can't go do anything other than watch a little bit of practice, you're probably not going to be driving to a lot of places either, right?
No, there's not. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the longest they said they'd have people drive is 7 hours. And so, yeah, for me, I'm
who's driving? Someone driving fast or slow? Is that the MapQuest 7 hours or what?
Well, like if you're like Stacey Dales is in Chicago, like she can get to Green Bay, she can get to Detroit.
Yeah, I'm not. So you can go here.
That's about Minnesota, maybe.
I'm outside. Yeah, Minnesota is not happening for me. Tom Pelissero lives in
drive to Denver. Okay,
you can shoot right down to Dallas.
Yeah, theoretically.
Get right down to.
I can
get you to Dallas in 7 hours. Let's go.
I can get the Denver.
You got the Metroplex, don't you? You already got someone down there, probably.
Oh, yeah. The Jane Slater's down there. Yeah. But, you know,
you're
look.
On Chiefs beat.
Which is, look, yeah. I'm fine with
might
it.
Might as well
but
be here.
I was, look, a few months ago, they were saying that nobody in the league was going anywhere unless Goodell was signing off on it. So just to be able to, and look, I am very happy about that because I'd rather be in a situation where they're concerned about your safety and they're concerned about
absolutely
not having you be in hotels or flying too much. So it's like that's, you know, I have to commend my bosses for the way and the league for the way they've handled that. They've said we're not going to expose people to unnecessary things. So, yeah, it's but like you said, like end of the day, it's like what we're going to do with the Chiefs is no different than what I'd be doing with anybody else.
Right.
And the other side of this that can be a good side for some of the media is that if you haven't been someone who has traveled and gone to road games and all that stuff, you're going to actually get to be able to maybe have more access than you've had before because you'll get to ask a question after a road game if you were a company who didn't go to those games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to get to go in and seek out a story in the locker room. Where, because I do think this will happen as well. If someone had something bad happen in a game, they probably won't be the first one to get sent to the podium.
Yeah, that's probably the way it's going to play out.
Yeah,
and
that's going to go team by team. Some teams will say, "Listen, you jack this thing up. You're out there. You're second up on the podium. You're third up. You're going to be out there and answer these questions." And some of them will be like,
"Yeah, but you know, I'll say this in terms
catch
of
you Wednesday.
I think the Chiefs have done a pretty good job. I haven't." You know, been involved in what they're doing.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about them in particular.
I think from what I've heard, I think most teams have been like them in terms of getting their star players out in front and having them answer questions. And you probably get more access to them that way than you would on a podium where guys can just walk off or, you know, it feels as if when I've seen
the
Mahomes stuff, Chris Jones, people who've been talking, Tyron Matthew.
The little inside baseball part that's a little harder than being at an actual press conference. It's hard to get a couple questions in a row because of just of the logistics of the Zoom. They're trying to get everyone in, say, you get a question. And it's hard to have a follow-up because they just kind of, they got to help everybody. It's a little harder there. Yeah. But listen, I'm not complaining about it, man. We're living through this thing. You're not going to hear me whining about it.
Yeah. And
I think you've seen even like Mizzou with Eli Drinkwitz and like you said with the Chiefs and the Royals. I mean, like, and I guess I have nothing to compare it to, but it didn't seem like other schools have been as open and frequent with their Zooms. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, Missouri's been tons more than any of our locals.
And I think it's been smart because they've taken advantage of the opportunity to try to showcase and market their new coach who is good on, like, you, if you have a coach that may not be good on Zoom or may not be good, that you don't want to parade him around out there and make him look worse. And so I think Drinkwitz has been perfect for this. And I've loved listening to Matheny. I think the Chiefs done a good job. I've been pretty happy with just the access and listening to, and Todd, you always do a great job of asking the right questions. I get what you say. Then you can't follow up because, you know, the Zoom is just different. But I think it's been pretty good. Now, Jeff, before we let you go for this segment and take a break, when you drive, if you have to drive someplace else, will you take the Jason Whitlock approach and have someone drive you and refuse to actually drive?
Is that what he does?
Passenger?
That's what he used to do.
Back in the day, everywhere he went,
he still does it.
I'm not sure, but are you going to be? Are you hands on the wheel? Are you going out
life.
Just hitting the open road? Huh?
I'm a hands on the wheel.
I saved his life on the way to Manhattan.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick Whitlock story about when we used to work. We used to work at the Ann Arbor News when we were at the beginnings of our journalistic careers, and we were trying to, you know, rise up the ladder of success. And so one year, we decided to go down to a National Black Journalists Association conference in Atlanta, which is about a 10-hour drive from Michigan. And we were kind of debating if we were going to do it. So last minute, we decided to do it.
So far, no.
And so I used to drive. I had a Ford Escort, my first car out of college. And so Whitlock called me up and
that
said, all right, we're going to go.
Car.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Atlanta. Let's go. Called me the night before. I said, all right, let's go. Let's do stuff in the bag. So we drove down Atlanta in an Escort, which they don't even make anymore, which is kind of like a Ford Fusion.
Was it a hatchback or was it a four-door?
Four-door. It was four-door. But I told people all the time,
that's
it's
luxury.
Like two things probably happen on
electric
that trip.
Electric seatbelts?
One is that I guarantee everybody who saw us thought I'd had some kind of crash and my airbag had gone off because Whitlock in the passenger seat was just taking up so much space. And my axle was probably torn apart.
The suspension is jacked up on his Ford.
It got down there. So, but true story, though, he actually got two job offers out of that deal. One was to, I think, some paper somewhere else. The other was the Kansas City Star.
Did he offer to drive at all?
No.
Oh,
no. So I drove him, yeah. Both ways.
You're driving,
20
Jeff?
Hours in a Ford Escort with Whitlock.
We all have driving Whitlock stories.
Not me. Yeah. I never drove Whitlock.
He stopped driving because one day after the show, the story that Lebo was alluding to, we were driving to Manhattan to go cover a Bill Snyder press conference, and he drove, and he never drove. And so we're halfway there, and I was reading something. I don't know what. And so I kind of feel the car drifting, and I look and we're going off the road, and he's out. He's asleep. He is, fast. And I go, Jason, as loud as I can, and he wakes up and has that startled look on his eyes. Are wide, looks at me, looks at the road, looks at me. Hey, Steven. and we go off the road. And let me tell you. It was. We were very lucky because if it would have happened maybe a couple of miles earlier, it would have been a very different ending because of how it dropped off. But we went off the road, and he hit the steering wheel somehow, and we spun out a couple of times. and I'm holding it, and the whole, and it happened so fast. You think you're bracing yourself to flip or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so we spun around, and it came to a stop. And he looked, Steven. You saved my life.
You saved my life.
You saved my life. And then I remember an 18-wheeler pulled over, and the guy gets out and runs, "You guys okay?" Because he saw it happen in front of us. We got back in. So we got back in the car, and it was drivable, thankfully. And we get back on the highway. When we get there, and I remember he's like, we're getting ready to interview Bill Snyder. And he goes, "Coach, Steven saved my life on the way out here." And he's like, "It's very good, Jason. It's very good." And then he didn't know what to say. But after that, no more driving from Jason. That was it. He retired the steering wheel after that. And then, do you remember what he bought me the next day, Jake, out of gratitude?
Treadmill?
It was Davey B's treadmill, wasn't it?
No, nothing to do with the treadmill.
Some ribs?
Think Mike Mays.
Oh.
Dumbbells.
Buy me the dumbbell set for all about fitness.
Dumbbells.
That's for saving my life. So I got dumbbells.
Stay strong.
Good value in that.
It's, you know what? Priceless. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's have one more listen-in to Sporting Kansas City and RSL as they are playing right now in Orlando.
Put this one away. You have to think for Sporting Kansas
Every
City.
Time. We're doing it.
A clinical finish from Churso. He was brought on for Sporting Kansas City to close this game out, and he has done so in the 86th minute.
Nate, what a finish here from Churso. First, he's one-on-one here. He's scared of his pace. A simple touch inside, and he just shapes up, bends that one far post. He makes this look so easy. That is such a good finish. He's so nonchalant in his celebration, but a little dip of the shoulder. He strikes that one so pure. Well done to Jurso there. Now we got 4 minutes here for Sporting Kansas City plus stoppage time. They got to make sure they hold this one, Nate.
Not bad.
There you go. I mean, that's the second time we've gone to a live listen-in immediately after sporting or in the process of
it's
scoring.
It's like you really just need to listen to
Nate's
us.
Call.
Yeah.
Right, that's exactly right.
I mean, let them call the game. And
anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, hey, look, that again, I mean, I know that the game's not in doubt, but the last few minutes of these sporting matches have been very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
Down in Orlando, and again, sporting. We hope that's it.
Did you like Sporting Nate's excitement. Voice, Jeff?
I did. It was very, very – he got me excited right there.
There you go.
Well, you know what?
Deeper.
Here's the positive. That was a sub. And if there's one thing I'm going to be critical of Peter Vermees throughout these first three games is his substitution process, because it almost caught him in the butt last game when they got scored on down two. Right, no subs were made hardly, and so That's a big time sub. When you put a guy like Gerso
in, and he scores.
And he scores and puts the game away. And, you know, knock on wood. But, you know.
It's like a pinch hitter coming in and hitting a home run in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, that's well done. Good sub. Way to go, Gerso.
Here we go. 2-0. It looks like Sporting has got things taken care of and will advance. Jeff Chedilla. Anything that you could tell us that you're working on coming up with your coverage of the NFL? How about a story on Mahomes?
Can you write a story about Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals somehow? That's Steven's next love.
Yeah.
So
why does Bobby Witt Jr. make Steven feel like he's floating? I don't know, something like
is
that.
Is he pretty good?
20-year-old kid, he's been doing a good job. Looks like you got him a future.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm working on a few things. I'm working on a story on David Johnson, the Cardinals' former running back who's now with the Texans. I'm working on a story on for our Super Bowl program, actually, on Super Bowl families who've had different members playing in the Super Bowl. So Dustin Colquitt is somebody who is on that list, the McCourty brothers, and Chris and Howie Long, the Harbaughs, people like that. So talking to them about that, and just waiting for camp to start up, man.
Let's make this self-serving for anyone, for any producers out there of Sports Talk Radio that might be in several dynasty leagues, or maybe a talk show host that just needs to hear about sleepers. What do you think of David Johnson going to Houston? What are your expectations? Because it's almost like that side of the trade has been a punchline, and everyone's focused on DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think he can go down there and have a big year?
I think he's going to be a sleeper. I think the way they're going to use him, catching, you know, as a receiver out of the backfield, they're going to team him with Duke Johnson. Now, he won't get the amount of carries he got in Houston, but I know they're excited about using him the way he was used with the Cardinals. And back then, he was a guy who got 20 touchdowns and did a whole bunch of stuff. But I think Lebo's got some news.
I have some news for you, Steven.
Lebo.
On the Bobby Witt Jr. front, Hunter Dozier.
You're gonna crush my heart.
Hunter Dozier has tested positive for COVID, is being placed on the injured list.
Well, that sucks. Let me go ahead and state that.
That sucks. But like I said, now there's going to be a spot where Hunter Dozier is not going to be available because he's going to be on the injured list. They need to have 30 guys.
No comment.
In the deal here. So, you know.
No comment.
That's a infielder/outfielder type player in Hunter Dozier.
What are you saying?
I'm saying it's Steven's dream of Bobby Witt Jr. being on this team.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's probably not going to happen, though. But this is they're going to have these tests go out, and that's why they're going to have this taxi squad. And it's why they got to have three extra guys. And they have an extra 30 guys on the roster plus this three on the taxi squad. If they get positive tests up, they're going to have to go try to figure out a way to field their teams. But that's now the seventh Royals player to have tested positive during this. Salvador Perez, Brad Keller, Ryan O'Hearn have returned in some fashion. Now, Salvador is already back and back. Ryan O'Hearn's in this rehab category, and so is Brad Keller at this point. So it's going to take a while to work themselves through this.
Yeah. You know what? Going back to football with COVID, somebody from the Patriots asked me a really interesting question. Like, when do the Chiefs get their rings?
I don't know.
Have a big party in the off season, and it's you talk about what it looks like.
Or they pass them out at the opening night. Sometimes they'll give them out then.
Yeah.
I don't know. These things are all different. They're going through this stuff. I know this. The Nationals won the World Series for the first time, and I think they ended up just mailing their rings to guys.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, because Trevor Rosenthal, who's now a Royal, he was on the Nationals at the beginning of last year. He got a ring mailed to him, so he's got a ring.
Well, that's not as much fun. I mean, the ring's great, but to be able to like show it off and take the photos, put it on social media,
all that,
boys.
Just another thing that's an effect.
When they do get it, they should play the clip from Lezak. The ring, ding, 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 ding. If we have that, but if not, I understand because the system is Jake's mortal enemy right now. So. But he's recovered very well. He's worked his way. He's I don't know if he's did he seem the same to you, Jeff, today in your interactions with him,
Jake?
Because he's had a lot of.
He's been in the booth the whole time.
Well, he threw his headset twice earlier, but when you weren't here. But he is so in on it right now. He's calm. He's found his zen.
Locked in now.
It looks intense right now. He is constipated or he is really trying to make Steven happen before the show ends.
Based on a commercial break conversation I had with him, he's not constipated. I think that's.
Ding 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 ding. Ding 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 Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, I got the
yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes, I got the yes.
Do I want the context for that?
No.
Nope.
Unimportant.
Nope. Okay.
No, you don't.
Hunter Dozier, test positive. There you go. There's your news from this morning. Royals are supposed to play at 3 o'clock today in San Luis.
So he's gone for 14 days?
Well, the injured list there is can be 10, but is, you know, they'll have to get 2 negative tests. It's, yeah, a couple weeks.
Wow. Whole new world, yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. I told Lebo he's moving up. Got your seat, man.
And if they way. If they want to use Bobby Witt Jr., I'm good with it. I mean, if they want to do what I want them to do anyway, that's fine. But I hope Hunter Dozier gets well soon. But, hey, I'm not going to quit on Bobby Witt. Thank you very much, Jeff Chedia.
Thank you, guys. Let's get Todd, this football season started.
Let's start kick off in 50 days. Todd, you're the real MVP.
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm not waking up before 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Todd, I'll see you tomorrow.
No.
Right here on the Border Patrol as you've offered to fill in again tomorrow. That's great. Todd Lebo, early morning riser.
Woo!
There it is. Jake, keep on kicking ass on Sports Radio 810 WHB.